This morning, we look at 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And just as Daryl had asked this morning, how many of you have been sharing Christ, sharing the gospel, or making that attempt? Good on you. Good on us. Because as we've looked at and sang about today, that it is because of Jesus' death and his resurrection that people have hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Jesus. So it is very appropriate that we celebrate communion today. That we celebrate communion every day because he is the way, the truth, and the life. The Apostle Paul, as he toured and as he was convicted and convinced that Jesus was the Messiah on the road to Damascus. Because we know Paul was once Saul, and he did what? He persecuted the church. He put those that believed in Jesus to death. And then he had this miraculous encounter with Jesus and recognized him as the Messiah. And then instead of persecuting the church, he did what? He promoted Jesus. He promoted the church. And so we have Paul is probably one of the greatest missionaries of all the disciples. We're not comparing. But he was sent to the Gentiles. And so he went to Rome, he went to Corinth, he went to Greece, and he shared the love of Christ with the people. And we have the story here that he ends up, at some point, he'd gone through Corinth from Athens, and he established a church in Corinth on his second missionary journey. We know he went through there the first time, and we wonder what happened. Maybe he planted some seeds. Maybe he met some people. But nothing took. But it wasn't until the second time, that Paul came through that people believed in Jesus. Now, if you know anything about Athens, and you know anything about Greece and Roman history, you know that the Greeks were known for what? What were the Greeks known for? And don't say, like, Greek food. They were known for philosophy. Philosophy. Okay, so they were philosophizers. If that's a new word, we can put that in the dictionary. And so they would think about ideas, and they would think about possibilities and outcomes, and they would, they were kind of the scientific idea men of their day. And so they loved talking about ideas and possibilities and promoting the different gods that were part of their culture. Well, Paul goes from Athens, where he encounters these individuals, and he's walking amongst the city of Athens, and he sees all of these statues dedicated to all these different gods, and he comes by a god that is what? The statue of who? The unknown god. And he says, guys, let me tell you about this unknown god, because he's my god. And so he goes on to tell them about Jesus. And he tells them about resurrection after death. What happens? The people go, oh, that's a good one, Paul. Hey, we'd like to talk about this a little bit later. And so Paul engages in what we would call apologetics. He starts to discuss ideas with them on their footing. And he does not meet great results. He actually ends up leaving Athens and goes to Corinth. And on his way, he comes to this decision in his mind that he will only preach Christ crucified. He will only preach Christ crucified. Why is that? Why would Paul only decide to preach Christ crucified? Well, if you got your bulletin, there's a little white sheet in your bulletin if you got one. If you did not, you can raise your hand, and I will volunteer my daughter. She will give you one. There's a little white sheet there. And it says, why should we focus on sharing Christ crucified? Okay? Very appropriate, because today is communion, and we remember Christ's death. What is the gospel? The good news of Jesus. What's the good news of Jesus? Okay, that he died, that he rose. How many of us know that John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Okay? Christ died for you and me. Why should we share that? Why is that the gospel? Because we were dead in our sin. Because of stuff happened back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They committed the whole human creation to a curse of death and sin. And so the only reason that we can have life everlasting is because Jesus died and gave his life. That's the gospel, Christ crucified. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, the incarnation. What happens in about 30 days from now, 40 days from now? We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christ's birth. The time that God gave his Son to the earth, the incarnation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay? John 3:16 is a great summary of the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus was born, that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, and that Jesus what? Arose. For you and me, and paid our debt of sin. So why should we share Christ crucified? Well, look at it. It is by the death of Jesus that one is first cleansed and freed from all sin. Amen? Amen. Secondly, accepted and reconciled to God, and that you now have peace with God. Amen. Amen. One is justified, is right. Is one can stand before God because Jesus died for you. Okay? It is the death of Jesus that one is eternally redeemed. That one is delivered from death. That one is delivered from condemnation. That one is delivered from the curse of the law. The curse of the law back in the Garden of Eden. Okay? Death and sin entered the world. What happened because of death and sin? Separation. Separation from God. God cannot be anywhere unholy. So they have a temple. He instructs the people to build a temple for him. They build a temple, and in the middle of the temple, there's what? The Holy of Holies. That no one is allowed to enter except for who? The high priest once. Okay? But when Jesus gave his life, died on the cross, what happened? That temple was destroyed. The curtain was torn apart. Man has free access to the Holy of Holies, to God himself. Okay? Separation no longer happens. That's why we should preach Christ crucified. He delivered us from judgment and the wrath of God to come. Do we know that there's a day to come? A judgment day? There's a great white throne judgment? We know that God has wrath to come. But God is all loving. Yes, he is, but he's also righteous and holy. Okay, we preach Christ crucified because he delivered his believers from the present evil world. Doesn't mean that we're not in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen? Okay? Satan's power over death in the world is broken and destroyed. It's because of Christ's death and his resurrection. Okay? We are healed because of what? Because of Christ's death and his resurrection. We are given all things because of Christ's death and resurrection. We are saved because of what? His death and resurrection. Not because we've had communion. Most importantly, John 12:32. All people are drawn to Christ because of his death and resurrection. As you share Jesus with people, you share the gift of Christ, do not forget the biggest part of the gospel. That he died. That he arose. And that because he did that, and he was God, 100%, the God-man, he says, I will draw all people to myself when I am raised up. That's what John 12:32 says. The disciples go, why do you have to leave? Why do you have to die? And Jesus said, because I will draw everybody to myself when I'm raised up. It's the power of the cross. It's the power of the crucifixion. That's why we preach Christ crucified. We have access to God, his holy presence. Because God's great love is revealed to us in the crucifixion. How many of us doubt that God loves you? We should not doubt, because anybody that would be give themselves to be crucified for you loves you. People say, well, Jesus was a liar or a lunatic or he's Lord. Would you die on a cross for me? I hope your answer is no, if you're being truthful. Because I probably wouldn't die on a cross for you either. We're just being real. I'm not Jesus. That'd be a hard thing. But for a righteous man or a good man, somebody might die. How he loves you, how he loves me. And it's revealed in the cross, the crucifixion. We are free to live for Christ from self. We have the power to deny ourselves in Jesus Christ. Because he said, I'm going to send my spirit, my counselor, and he's going to live within you. And if you listen to him, you can overcome temptation and sin. Doesn't mean you're not going to fail at some point. We all do. But we all have forgiveness in Christ and be restored. We live unto righteousness. We learn to love and give our lives for others. That is the example of the crucifixion. That's the example in the upper room as Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. They don't quite understand this. Why would he do this? Jesus is the Messiah. He's not a servant. But he's the Messiah's servant that shows us how we're to live. It is by Jesus' death that we know the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says what? For those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness, but to those who are being saved, it is God's power. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the understanding of the experts. Interesting. Because when the Corinthian church had a problem, and the problem was they had division within their ranks. Because people had been baptized, and there was a lot of influence from Athens. Who was what? Philosophy. Theology. This is how you live life. This is how you do it. And so that all comes over in the Corinthians. They're Greeks. They're all discussing about life and death and all this kind of stuff. And who God does this and who God does this and that. All of that. And Paul goes, oh, I had this experience in Athens. I'm not going to do the same thing in Corinth. I'm going to preach Christ crucified. Even as foolish as it sounds, that someone would die to save you. I'm going to preach that. Because that's what I'm supposed to preach. That's the gospel, he says. Paul's proclamation, when I came to you, brothers, chapter 2, verse 1, when I came to you, brothers, announcing the testimony of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. What's he referring to there? Philosophizing, rhetoric. Their priests, the people that were of importance, they spoke well. They were eloquent. They could help people understand. They could entertain them. Paul wasn't that way. Wasn't meaning that he wasn't wise and that wisdom is no use, but it's the ways of man's wisdom is not the same as God's wisdom. So Paul says, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. I didn't wow you. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Now why would Paul be fearful and trembling and be in weakness? Did he have a fear of public speaking? How many of us have a fear of public speaking? When I go away for a while and I've been on holidays, the first time I get up to preach, I'm like, Paul wasn't afraid to preach, but he was fearful that he would fulfill what Jesus wanted him to say. What the Spirit wanted him to say and how he said it. He wasn't pervasive. He wasn't a great orator. But he relied on the Spirit. For my speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. If you've never highlighted anything in your Bible, highlight that. Why is that significant? Why is that significant? Because he didn't want men to base their faith on his understanding. Because there was debate happening in the church. This was what the church was all caught up in. They were saying, I'm after Apollos. I'm after Paul. I was baptized by Apollos. I was baptized by so-and-so. This was the thing that was going on in the church. They were comparing these leaders instead of what? looking to God. And as a result, division was happening within the church. And the body was becoming separated. Unity was becoming frayed. And we know that only in unity is God glorified. Does the church operate? Does the church function well when its body is unified? Because if the body isn't unified, what happens? One thing doesn't do what it's supposed to do. People start, well, how come they get all the glory? They start picking on each other. Paul knew this, and he said, unity is the first thing above all things. So we're going to address this issue. You guys raise up these leaders. You guys raise up these churches, and you know what? It's God who should be raised up. It's the Word of God. This is my speech and proclamation. We're not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith may not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power instead. What's your confidence in? What's our confidence based on? That I attend church every Sunday, and hopefully I've got enough attendance records that I'll make it through? Is it confident that I've read my Bible every day, all my life, and that that's going to get me into heaven? No, because that's what? Works. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith and belief in Jesus. Who's my confidence in? Paul's getting to this. You know what? You might find, okay, I'm not going to pick on people, but Irwin McManus. I like Irwin McManus. He's a great orator. He's a wise guy. But you know what? He doesn't get me to heaven. Jesus does. You know what I'm getting at? I hope you all know what I'm getting at. This is what Paul's getting at. Do we do this today in the church? Who's our confidence in? Well, you know what, Pastor Shannon? He's not a really good speaker. He speaks too long. He's a Flames fan. Definitely. We need to go somewhere else. But you know what? This is the thing that Paul's talking about, is causing division in the church. This is what was happening. He's not very good. Well, let's go somewhere where he's good. Okay, so is my confidence in the preacher who's preaching the word, or is it actually in the word? Better be in the word. That's what Paul's getting at. That's why there's division in the church. They're promoting these guys. That's why Paul was being chased by this wherever he went. Is like, oh, you're Paul. We've heard stories about you. He wants not to have the glory himself, but God to have the glory. And his speech was simple. This is the gospel. I will preach Christ crucified. Because why? Because that's where the power is. That's where the glory is. He says, this is where the Spirit will operate. Right? I want the demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom. He's not saying that wisdom is bad. But he's saying don't base your faith on the wisdom of men. Base it on God. Base it on the Word. Base it on the Spirit. Right? That's why he says, also what? He says what? Test the spirits? He says, if you receive a word, what should you do? Go to the Bible. Does the Word verify that? Does the Word support that? Is what this person's saying to me true? Does it line up with Scripture? If it doesn't line up with Scripture, you're to do what? Reject it. If it lines up with Scripture, good. We're good. Says Paul basically says these things. He says, one, don't be afraid to proclaim what God says in His Word. Why? Because the Spirit will be with you. The Spirit inspired. God says to Paul, don't be afraid to preach what I tell you to preach, to share. How does that relate to us? So what? We are to share Christ, right? It says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Preach what the Word of God says, because that's where the authority is. It's not in how you state it. It's not in how you present it. We've talked about the three circles and sharing your story. We've talked about the three circles, and remember, I told you. I said this is a model that you can share with others, but that's what it is. It's a model. It's an idea. That the model doesn't have the power. What has the power? The gospel, Jesus. Part of the three circles is brokenness. It's God's perfect design, but the most important part is that third circle, which is what? Christ. Christ was crucified. Christ came down, lived as a man, died for men, for their sin, and rose again so that we might have life. That's John 3:16. It's not the power in the model, it's the power in the gospel. That's why we preach Christ crucified. So we share Christ crucified. We should never fear weakness. Paul says, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling, but I shared Christ crucified, and that's where the authority and the power is. He says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. So Paul avoided what? Manipulating people. He avoided guilting people. He just preached the gospel. You're sharing with something, somebody, just share the gospel. Share your story. And Paul always said, rely on the Spirit's power, not on you. Not on how effective you presented it. What did Jesus say? When you're brought before rulers and authorities and principalities and powers, he says, don't worry about what to say. He says, my Spirit will be with you and will tell you what to say at that time. Amen? Amen. So what's the application? As we share Christ and try to reach our world, we may give you a model and an idea how to do that, but it's not in the wisdom of myself. It's not in the wisdom of Pastor Larry. It's not in the wisdom of the elders. It's not in your wisdom. But it's in the power of God. The Spirit of God, that people are drawn to Christ. That's why we have to share the gospel. You know? Some have asked, why are we doing this? Because we're supposed to. We're called to this. This is our duty. This is our job. How else will people know about Jesus if someone does not what? Preach to them. Share Jesus to them. This is why we do. This is where Paul is in Corinth. This church, people go, oh, it's a mess. Yeah, it was a mess, but it was a church that just got established. It's a church that's reaching into their culture and saving people. You ever know when you go in, you save something out of the muck? Does it come out crystal clean? No, you got to take it out, you got to wash it off, you got to polish it up, right? That's what the Corinthian church is doing. That's what the workers there, Paul and his leadership, is doing. They're reaching into the community, and it's not always going to look fantastic. People are messy, aren't they? Are you perfect? Is anybody perfect? Nope. Not even Flames fans. See? This is why we do this. The Corinthian church was not perfect in any way, neither was Paul. But he relied on one thing, to preach the gospel in the power of the Spirit. We do that so. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your ministry through Paul, through the Corinthian church. Father, that people were being saved back then. That they were not fearful of what others would say, or social status, or standing, or influence, or money. But Father, just simply shared the gospel. Jesus crucified. Father, would you bless us in the same way as we step forward, as we share the story of Christ, as we share the gospel, Lord, we know that we may get shut down at times, but we also know that there may be joy, times of great joy, and there will be, when someone chooses to believe. Father, we might ask, is it worth it? For surely it is. You are worth it. So Lord, as we go forward this week, Father, would you be with us as we obey your word, as we follow you, as we share. Lord, give us opportunities to share the love of Christ, the gospel, with people. Help us not be fearful. Keep the evil one at bay. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.